This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
I booked my flight for Joe Fest, and the hotel is booked. So me and Paddy are kind of, we're going to share a room at the hotel.
This is awesome.
Really, really looking forward to that. So I'm going to get to meet a lot of my American friends that I've only met online.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get to meet them in person. Really looking forward to that in June.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to just clink cups.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with the big English contingent that's also coming over?
That's right. Stefan, Jamie, Stephen. Well, Stephen's Irish, but Stefan and Jamie, those guys, and obviously Mark Seddon. So, yeah, that's going to be, Jesus, that's going to be some, oh my God, I'm just imagining. The Friday night session is going to be, it's going to be something else.
I mean, you guys are going to have to nap on the plane because we're not going to bed early.
Oh God, no. Sharing the hobby with the friends is the most important thing about the hobby.
Yes.
Okay, so here's one for you. It was my birthday a couple of weeks ago. I never tell anyone it's my birthday. I never make a big deal about it.
I'm the same.
But it just happened that that Stephen needed to come out here and he was dropping some stuff out to me. He said he was going to give me a hand reorganizing my shelves. So I don't know if you can see my figure, this my Action Force display on the top shelf there.
Yeah.
Stephen helped me with that. And it just happens to be my birthday, but I didn't tell him it was my birthday. And then Paddy and Bill, two other friends here, they heard, well, Stephen's going, oh, you will come out as well. And, you know, we'll give you a hand, you know, setting stuff up. So I wasn't going to say anything to the guys about my birthday, but when they arrived, they were just in the door, like in my studio, and my wife, Karen, came along with a birthday cake, surprising me and the guys with candles and everything. And, you know, it was just brilliant. But, you know, it's coming back to that thing about sharing the hobby with your friends is amazing. And then if you're able to take what you do and like take that and then share it out to the wider community, that's awesome as well.
Well, and that's why I'm inspired by you guys, because that's what you guys do in paper form. And I was having lunch with an old work mentor and current friend, and I got home 30 minutes before we were supposed to record anyways, because, you know, we're having drinks at lunch. Of course we are. And I mentioned that I was doing this, and Brian's a designer. And she was like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, he designs, he makes the books pretty. I said, and he works in museums, and he makes shit beautiful. I love it. I hunger for it. And so I know if you're involved in something, it's going to look beautiful. The photos are going to be beautiful. As soon as you posted, I went purchase.
Oh, dude, thank you.
I own books from the two of you. And now with my Palette Toy story, I own books from Bob and you. Like, I have an ingrained trust in your skill and the way you come at your craft and your hobby. I have an ingrained trust that whatever you're putting your signature on, your name, your reputation on, it's probably going to be all right. And so I don't have to look. I just have to make sure that I get one. And then when it lands, I'm going to read the hell out of it.
God, it's a great compliment. Thank you. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with David Gillis's photography. So this new book is a guy called David Gillis. He's a vintage Action Force collector and customizer. And he takes diorama photos of his collection. I've been following David's work for quite a while and only really got to kind of connect with him, you know, last year. He's a super nice, super sound guy.
Is he British, Wales, Scottish, Irish?
he's from Bob Breakin's neck of the woods. So he's from up near Leicester, you know, where Bob is from.
Okay.
So he actually lives quite close to Bob. I believe they, you know, they're good mates. They, you know, they would kind of meet face to face kind of regularly. And Bob did kind of help, you know, with introductions to David as well. Way, way back, like the My Palatoy story journey with Bob's book, I mean, that began back in 2022, you know, kind of starting on that. And over the course of that kind of journey, Bob introduced me properly to David, and I got chatting with him. So I was a fan of his work before I met him, and I was following him on Instagram, where he was posting, you know, a lot of his pics. He's active on the Vintage Action Force group on Facebook as well. He's got a very unique style to his photography. It's all vintage. His customs feature very heavily in the work. So most of the figures you see in his photography are his own customs. And they're all outdoor shots. He's able to take outdoor environments and set it up in such a way that it scales really nicely with the figures and vehicles, which is kind of a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like say grass, when you take scale and a 4-inch action figure, then, you know, grass doesn't look like grass anymore. It looks unnatural. But David's able to kind of set up his outdoor shots in a way that it all blends together visually. It looks right. And of course, you get those great classic toys and then his brilliant custom interpretations, you know, using, you know, the vintage figures as well. So anyway, we got talking, I'm not even sure how long ago it was, we got talking about, you know, doing a book, and he had the idea to do a book, and he was asking me for advice as to how he might go about it. And then that led into Total Toy Books designing and publishing his book. We're in a really good place. The Kickstarter is successfully funded, which is amazing. And we're in the process now of just finalizing the image selection. And there's going to be a few new images, like some new customs and new figures that David wants to include in the book. He'll just need a little bit of time to get those shots done. But we're working towards an October kind of delivery for that. So people will have that book in time for Christmas this year.
That's amazing. Since this is focused on his photography work, are you strictly designing? Did you do any of the writing, or are you submitting photos as well?
So my role is strictly designer, publisher, the accurate kind of description. It's all David's photography.
Which is beautiful.
It is. If you're a fan of Vintage Action Force, it's really going to be a visually stunning book. But he's written captions for every single photo. So when he posts, there's always a little caption which kind of gives you a bit of, I suppose, a little bit of fiction about what's happening in the scene.
So kind of a story hook.
A little story hook, exactly. He's written one for every single photo. The other text in it is Bob Breakin has agreed to write the foreword to the book. And of course, you know, Bob's slant on the foreword is that Palatoy were the original customizers. They took the Series 1 Action Force and they effectively kitbashed those figures to create the iconic Series 2 line, which has got your Red Shadows, your Mouton, And all the Action Force teams, Space Force, SAS Force, Z Force. So that's Bob's contribution to the book is the foreword, and that will be illustrated with some photos from Bob's collection, and then photos that myself and David will take to just to illustrate the different bits and pieces that Bob covers in the foreword.
That's lovely. I don't know if we talked about this the last time we recorded together, but I think I sent you a message about this. So Bob, I don't know Bob. In the last time we talked about Bob's book, Bob was out of country or something. He was on holiday. Well, he put out this tiny little RoboSkull book. And so I hit him up immediately. I want one.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, no problem. I'll get you a price. And I don't hear anything from him. A week or two or maybe a day and a half. I don't know. Some amount of time goes by and I get a tracking number. And then I get the book. But I've never been asked for payment. So I reach out to Bob and I go, you know, you don't know me, but I bought your book. I have the book. The book is amazing. I never paid for the book. I think he was slightly embarrassed, but thanked me for, you know, being honest about it. And he sent me a price. I PayPal'd him immediately. And then we just had a nice chat about RoboSkull, his book coming out, our friendship, you know, because he's friends with you and with Patty. you know, I've been honored and blessed to also call you guys friends over the last couple of years. And so we just had this nice little go back and forth. And then, you know, I don't want to bug the man. So it tapered off and we've never spoke since, but it gave me a real sense of what like you and Patty have talked about, but also like what Chris, when he talks about Bob on the Full Force and everyone else that knows Bob has talked about, like he just came across very earnest and sweet, you know, and we treat this man like David Bowie, but you know, he's not a rock star outside of our world, but in our world, holy shit, there are a few bigger. And he's just very, just sweet and kind. And we just had this great little conversation. And then I let it go because, you know, he doesn't know me. And even though I can name drop friends that are mutual, I don't want to bug his day. So when you talk about him doing the foreword and him talking about it from a very humble perspective of we just kitbashed our own shit, like that is great. And it feels very authentic to what I've read of his so far, whether in his little RoboSkull book or in the amount of my Palitoy story that I've read so far, which I haven't read all of it yet. I'm still reading Carson's tome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 600-ish pages out of the 700-ish. Palitoy is next. I also just got the Blue Harvest wish book. So I'll read through that after I finish Palitoy's story, unless you guys send something else my way. And then that'll get kicked to the top. But, you know, I'm interrupting your story just to very long-windedly say, like, Bob, from an outsider perspective and someone who's only spoken to him once and read a few of his words, he seems very sweet.
Genuinely saying this, he's one of the nicest people that I've met, and he's incredibly humble. You know, like he led a very talented team of designers at Palitoy back throughout the 70s and 80s, and they were great designers. He was also a great designer, but he tends to kind of put his colleagues before himself. So he'll always kind of say, oh, that was, you know, Greg Hughes, you know, did that, and Greg's a great designer, or Brian Turner, yeah, he did this, and, you know, he'll talk about those guys, you know, or it could be one of the dress designers who worked on the dolls. He rarely gives himself credit, but you look at the stuff that he produced, you know, like the RoboSkull is what we all know. But if you look at some of his Action Man work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for the 12-inch guys, and I know you've got an interest in the 12-inch as well, you know, some of the outfits, the accessories, just coming up with the concept for how we could take, how can we turn this, you know, 12-inch doll into something awesome. And his creativity would just explode onto the canvas.
You know, when you talk about being humble and putting his colleagues above each other, I just sat down with Chris Scott and Mark Gerwig to talk about them doing the Joe Fest customizing class. And after that conversation, I reached out to Chris and I levied on him a compliment that I've given to you and Patty so many times. Of every time I ask Chris a question, Mark answers, complimenting Chris's work. And every time I ask Mark a question, Chris answers, complimenting Mark. And you and Patty do the same thing. So to bring up Bob doing that with his colleagues, to me, it is genuinely the sign of a confident and competent artist and teammate. This is how we lead and this is how we love in our partnerships.
That's awesome, dude. That actually, I never thought of it in those terms. When you say that, it's, yeah. And I'm thinking of all those people that you mentioned and Bob in particular, but that's what it's a sign of. He's just really comfortable in his own skin and he doesn't need approval from anybody. And he's happy to fly the flags for his other colleagues.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows his worth. He has his nugget of success, and he wants to make sure everyone else is eating at the table. And that's how I see like the partnerships that I've seen of yours, the partnerships I'm mentioning with Chris and Mark, and there's so many others. There's so many solo artists, and that's great. And there's so many teams that have a leader that takes all. But for a partnership that is so loving and giving that, like you guys and like Bob. To me, it's something special, and I think people should take more notice of it.
That's pretty kind of humbling comments, dude. That's respect that, man. Respect that. Thank you. But yeah, it's all part of that amazing journey. You know?
I think if you open yourself up to it, but your son is kind of no longer into the toys.
None of them. My oldest son, Liam, I mean, he was really into the toys when he was younger. My daughter and then Carl, who were the next two, they never really got the toy bug at all. But with all the kids, I would read them kind of, you know, bedtime stories. But with Carl, I was reading him comics as opposed to storybooks. And I had my stack of Battle Action Force comics. And I'd pick one up, and each night we would read one. And they always end, the stories end in a cliffhanger, you know, in every episode. Like, it's a 5-page story, cliffhanger ending. And then the next night we get the next issue out to see what happens next. And we went through all of those comics. It shocked me how violent they were, because I never considered how violent they were when I was reading them as a kid. But as a parent reading them with my 7 or 8-year-old, I was like, oh man, this stuff's dark. But he enjoyed us, you know. And then when we got through that stack, we moved to the Beano, which is I don't know if you guys probably don't know the Beano, but that's a really popular kids comic, which has been going since, I think, the 1930s.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So there's like some like 8,000 issues out there. So for the completists out there, that's a lot of collecting to do, you know. But we would read the Beano, and we would be falling in the place laughing. And then that kind of, because it's all pure comedy. It's like the Three Stooges style comedy, real slapstick humor, you know.
So you're going from the darkness of battle. It's a hell of a pendulum swing.
Yeah, sure is. That's the thing that made Battle famous, right? Here's a little nugget. Now, I'm just going to throw this out here. When the editors at IPC were putting Battle together, they wanted a comic that was going to rival the war comics from the rival publishers. And their angle they were going to take was, this was going to be grim. Really action-packed. It wasn't going to pull its punches in terms of the violence. And the characters were going to be developed. They were going to be characters as opposed to caricatures. And the guy they brought on board to spearhead that was a guy called Jerry Finley Day. And Jerry Finley Day is to Action Force what Larry Hama is to G.I. Joe. But Jerry retired. He worked throughout the 60s, 70s, and most of the 80s in comics, and then he retired from comics altogether. And he writes novels. He's been writing novels ever since the late 80s. That's what he does now. But in his comics time, he created incredible characters, incredible stories. He was the lead Action Force writer. When Action Force was with Battle, and he wrote all the initial stories. He's a former paratrooper, so he's got the ex-military background, like Larry. But, you know, where Larry maybe has kind of stayed engaged with the community, he's done the conventions, like, everybody knows Larry Hama. Jerry hasn't really been in the limelight in terms of keeping in contact with the fans. He kind of put that world behind him decades ago. And it's only in recent years that he started making convention appearances. Jerry Finley Day is a legend in the British comics industry. And I really hope that he gets celebrated more and more in the Action Force fan community, because he took those Palitoy figures and he built characters around them. That's what the toys never, like, there's no real character to the toys. I mean, they all have the same face, you know. There's nothing about distinguishing about the toys other than their uniforms or their accessories. But he was able to take that detail and say, in SAS Force, they all look the same in SAS Force. He created characters like Private Jones, codename Stakeout. And he's this really sarcastic scouser from Liverpool with a really sick sense of humor. And he just rubs everybody up the wrong way. And then his partner in the squad is Hans Muller, who's a German former GSG-9 commando who has no fun about him whatsoever. And even when he's having his dinner, he holds a steak knife ready, always ready for action. And that's the kind of humor that Gerry Finley Day would bring. Like, he'd take these two totally opposite, create these opposite characters and put them into situations in the comics that were
love that.
Comedic, but also create a drama as well. The Action Force stuff isn't even the most successful stuff that he's done. Rogue Trooper is a comic strip that he's most famous for. And quick plug for the Rogue Trooper movie, which is coming out, I think, next year. That's one to check. You're going to want to see the Rogue Trooper movie. And it stars, what's the name of Captain America's girlfriend? Is it Hayley Atwell?
Yeah.
She's in it. She's starring in it. So it's an all-star cast of British actors.
I really, really want to read the battle line, but it's so hard to get a handle on trying to collect it over here. Maybe 6-7 years ago, someone put all of 1981 as a bid, all of 1980 as a bid, and I missed it.
I remember that. I was watching those bids, and I didn't have the budget at the time to go for it.
That was in my heaviest period of toy collecting, so I missed that, and I've tried to go back. It's very difficult, at least here, to collect those in single floppy issues.
They are all up there on Jim's website, but the way they've been optimized for the web, the quality has really degraded in the art.
When I was looking for the two Action Force Skystrikers, when I wanted to know what their parachutes were, I had to go to his site. Because I could not find it anywhere else. I can't remember. The 85 has blue and the 87 has the green or reverse. But the parachutes that came with those two were never released here. They are unique to Action Force.
I actually did not know that. That's pretty awesome.
Seddon is why I even have the Skystrikers to begin with. He had one. He was like, oh, it's a beater. And he put it in his bag and he brought it over to the States when he was here in November. And he pulls it out and I was like, this is not a beater. I can get rid of tape residue. Yes, I'll take this, you know? And it was from Mark. We're friends. And then when you guys were at Rollout Roll Call, I don't know if it's you and Patty sending me pictures of a 85 Skystriker that was on the floor.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And I was like, nah, you know, I don't have the budget for it right now. And I appreciate it. No big deal. And then Mark was like, oh, look at my haul. And he's showing me all the things he bought. And then at the very end, he's like, oh, and I bought this in case you wanted it. If you don't, I'll keep it. But if you do, I'll pack it in my bag for Joe Fest. You know, I didn't have the budget when you guys were at Rollout Roll Call. And I was like, well, I do want it. I'll pay you in a couple of weeks.
I actually remember that because we were at Rollout Roll Call. Mark was there. Patty was there. We were looking at all the stands. I mean, some great, great stuff at all the stands there. I can't remember which one of us spotted the Skystriker first, but Paddy said, Jason Murrell's looking for that. And I think it might have been me took the photograph and sent it to you. But Mark was in on all that whole conversation as I was kind of texting you back and forth. He clearly just took the initiative and said, I'm not waiting for a response here. I'm just gonna buy this. Mark is he's one of those amazing people in the community, such a nice guy. He's been so supportive of the stuff me and Paddy have done. You know, he's had us on his show a couple of times. Talking Joe, the Talking Joe podcast.
Mark is funny because he runs a podcast, but you meet him and he's so quiet. He's such a sweetheart. I like Mark a lot. I really do. And I'm so pleased that I can consider him and call him a friend. There was a time back in the early 90s where I was playing a lot of MUDs. You remember like the World of Warcraft or EverQuest?
Yes.
Think about that. No graphics. Text based only.
Wow. Okay.
I went from a guy who's lived all over the US and knows people all over the US, but because of online gaming, even though it was text based, I'm playing with people all over the world. And so I was making friends with people in Latvia and Israel and England and China all at the same time. I'm hanging out in 94. I'm hanging out with Latvians who gained independence from Russia a year prior.
That's pretty awesome.
You know, then I was able to experience that through music and nightclubs and DJs and having DJ friends and dancers from all over the place. And then I joined the Toei community. And once again, I'm struck by how international we are and how I get a much broader view of the world through fellow collectors. Having friends in Norway and in Egypt and in the Joburg boys in South Africa, you guys, Mark, like everybody's all over the damn place. And it's really nice, which I know I just mentioned a whole lot of places that speak a whole lot of English. There's also a lot of people that I've met in other countries that aren't as English forward, but it's kind of fun. I don't know why I got on this tangent, but I am gushing about the friendships I've made all over the goddamn place because toys.
It's amazing. And you know what? Joe Fest this year is going to be a convergence of a lot of those collectors from around the world. Got our UK, your English contingents. We've got a pretty big Irish contingent coming over. So myself, Paddy and Stephen.
Yeah.
And our good friend, Ray Murphy, who did the customs for the Total Action Force, the Battle Years book, and his brother, James.
Ray was over last year, wasn't he?
Ray was there last year, yeah.
So he's coming back again. Good.
He's coming back for more. I think Ray inspired us all, you know. We all heard about Ray's... Ray came back with a flag.
If that's not going to inspire you, nothing will.
I'm not expecting to return back to Ireland with a flag, but, you know, there's never say never, right?
Correct. You got to one up him with a Defiant.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll have to fight Stephen Kelly for the Defiant.
There you go.
if there's one there. And then, you know, of course, we're going to get to meet lots of our American friends at that convention too. So I know you'll be there. You know, Ben and Mark from Skeletron, they're going to be there. So I'm really looking forward to meeting those guys, in person for the first time, even though we've spoke loads, you know, online. I'm sure, but Carson, I presume he'll be there.
Carson will be there. Troy will be there, but not John, is going to do the Texas show while Troy does Joe Fest.
I met Troy and Carson at JoeCon in 2017 in Orlando. My son Liam was with me at that, and Troy took us around Disneyland in one of the days. So he hung out with us the whole day. He was there with his own family, but he hung out with me and Liam just to basically show us around, around the park there in Disney World.
That's amazing.
He was so generous with his time, you know. And I bumped into Carson in the corridor. So he was walking along, and he had like a pull along kind of, you know, briefcase thing with a load of his books in there. And I was walking along, and I had a bag full of, at the time it was a Total Hacks that me and Paddy had just put out. I had a bag of those, and we bumped into each other in the corridor. And we immediately knew who each of us were, but we had never met before or even spoke before. And we ended up trading books in the corridor.
Oh, that's amazing.
That was cool, you know. So I love those kind of interactions as well. When you meet someone for the first time, and you know, it's great.
That's incredible. I missed that JoeCon. I think it was happening the same week as something else, because I remember at that point I knew JoeCons existed, but I didn't get a chance to go because it was overlapping. But I've heard some great things about all the JoeCons I've missed, and this is just one more time of. To me, I use this as a good example to everyone else that doesn't go to shows, like, gotta get to shows. Granted, you know, for me, it is the number one thing that I prioritize in my hobby. I'd rather skip a rare toy to get to a show, because I can always get that rare toy, but I might not always get to sit down and share a drink or break bread with someone, especially when you talk about a whole ocean dividing us. So to be able to use this as an excuse, right? So like I met Stephen, Paul, and Rob at the 2018 JoeCon. I may never meet them again. Of course, I might meet them 20 more times. Who knows, right? But like somebody's got to get on a plane for that to happen. Somebody's got to cross water for that to happen. But I got to meet them. I became friends with Hooded Cobra Commander 78 because of shows. I became friends with, you know, Carson and Ben and, you know, everybody because of shows. Being able to like shake hands with you guys, break bread with you guys is going to be really incredible. Is David coming, since his book is now in the works?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to have to ask David if he would consider coming over.
A little bit of peer pressure, sure.
Yeah, you know, it never did anybody any harm. Well, I'm sure it did, too. But not too much pressure. But I definitely will ask him. if he would consider coming over. I know that he has a young family, but, you know, I shouldn't be making excuses on his behalf. I need to, but it's definitely worth putting it out there and seeing, you know, considering that there's quite a large UK contingent coming over, he would know a lot of those guys from the UK traveling over by reputation alone anyway, and certainly from interaction in the various Facebook groups. So I think that would be cool if he traveled over.
It would be fantastic. His photography is very good. It's lovely to look at. I've spent a lot of time complimenting your own, but from an outdoor photographer perspective, you know, you talked about how difficult that was to keep things looking properly scaled. And we have a few guys over here that are just fantastic outdoor photographers. So just even the slightest chance that they might be able to meet each other and shake hands and share tips and tricks and favorite locations and convince each other to travel and photograph in each other's backyards, or since he's here on U.S. soil, to take some toys around Augusta and find places to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Just the whole concept, the whole idea of it brings joy to me. You know, he hasn't even said yes, but just me considering all of the possibilities. But, you know, that's spending money out of his pocket. So, you know, and this book is coming. This book is funded. So this book is happening.
The great thing about this is that David's got enough photography right now that he doesn't actually need any more, but he has some really great customs in the pipeline, and they will make a great addition to the book. So it's worth just kind of waiting a little bit of extra time just to get those in there. And we built that into our project plan. So we always knew we were going to take that time to get those shots, or for David to get those shots. So, but yeah, October this year, we expect to have books in hand ready to get shipping. I think if David did come out to Joe Fest, and, you know, I'm saying this, you know, obviously without discussing it with David, but it would definitely be possible to have a mock-up book to show off if he did come over.
I can promise you I will not look at it, because I don't, like, I absolutely want to see it. And I've had the same conversation with both Carson and Dan and others who have done this, is like, I want the real thing in my hands. I want the joy of opening it, but I'm going to walk past your booth about 15 times. I'm going to touch it, and I'm going to be like, no, I can't. And I'm going to walk on, and then I'm going to come back and, like, I want to look at it, and it's going to drive me goddamn mad. It's going to drive me mad. But for everyone else, I think it's something that they should absolutely crack open and absorb and understand what they just purchased. Or if they can purchase after the fact, do it right there on the floor. But I will tempt myself a dozen times walking over there and touching the book and feeling the heft of it. And I can look through a little. No, I shouldn't. I'm going to do it. It's silly. You're going to laugh at me. This is the madness that is.
You mentioned, like, the book. Actually, we do have his book is up for pre-order up on the TotalToyBooks.com website. It is up. So if people missed the Kickstarter,
excellent.
It is up there. But if people do see it at Joe Fest, if you do get it mock up over there, and I'm actually, as I'm saying this, I'm realizing I'm putting more work on my own decks, because I'm going to have to get that mock-up ready. If people did see it and they liked it, then yes, they would be able to order it online. They could do that. And as I say that, I'm thinking it might be good to have a mock-up of the Total RoboSkull book to bring over as well. I'm saying that, but I'm not making any promises right now. But this is just me brainstorming on the podcast of all the things that I could do.
I can cut it out or I can leave it.
No, leave it all in. It's all good.
Going to want to, and I'm going to sweat over it. I love rough drafts. I love mock-ups. I love the pre-production. I love the production artifacts. But when it comes to books, I'm also like, don't spoil me before it shows up. And those two things will be at war the entire time I stand at your booth, sweating, hoping someone comes up so that I can go, oh, I don't want to interrupt commerce, and run away.
You mentioned earlier, you know, about Bob's little mini RoboSkull book that he made for the 40th anniversary of RoboSkull. Bob showed me his kind of, we'll call it his first draft, at Roll It Roll Call last year in November. And he was telling me the idea that he had, you know, 40 books, 40th anniversary of Robo-Skull, and then he would sign a number each copy. So I presume yours is numbered and signed.
Yes.
But he gave me the prototype. So I have the prototype, and then I have my signed and numbered copy as well.
Oh, that's nice.
So, and there are, like, he made a lot of changes. Like the prototype had just kind of placeholder images that he asked. He knew I had, you know, images from the Paltoy storybook and from the Action Force books. And he asked if, you know, he could use my images to replace some of those placeholders. So I knew those changes were coming, but he put other stuff in there as well. He took it on a few steps from that kind of prototype.
You guys have built such an amazing partnership of people. The more I talk to either of you separately or together, just this, you guys have like a whole community of people around you that are creative and interesting and doing really cool stuff. From the top of the top, from the people we stand on their shoulders, like Bob, all the way through all these indie toy lines and other photographers and everything else. And it's really kind of neat to watch you guys work.
Dude, thank you. Thank you. Well, and I suppose a big part of what's, you know, Joe Fest in June for me is finally getting to meet a lot of people like yourself face to face. And you see breaking bread. We'll break bread and we'll break open a bottle of whiskey somewhere.
Absolutely.
A bottle of the finest Irish whiskey. Which we'll bring over in our suitcases. Actually, we'll have to have a bottle of American whiskey as well.
I will pack something. It's something my grandfather said to me a long time ago. He called it pouring a cup of brotherhood.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you've never been to a place until you've been out of the airport and you've had a meal there. And you can't call someone a friend until you've shared a drink with them. Which this is pre-internet, so I know the internet has changed a few things. And we have shared a drink many times just over Skype. But there is something in that that still resonates with me, that when I know someone and I enjoy them, I do want to sit down and, you know, share food, share a drink, share tall tales and lies, share stories, share laughter, share tears, whatever. So, you know, you guys coming across and seeing everybody. There's so many of us for you guys to see, but that's where BarCon is. It's why Joe Fest is one of my every year shows. The BarCon is incredible. It's a 2-story lobby and we're up till 4 a.m.
Wow. Wow.
Plenty of time to see everybody. And that, you know, you're bringing the English contingent with you because, you know, the Irish have to lead the way, right?
Damn right.
It's going to be so good to be able to spend time with everybody. I'm excited to see Mark again because we just spent a weekend in November hanging out, having drinks and communing. So I do hope David joins you guys, but even if he doesn't, you know, this book looks incredible on the Kickstarter. You know, you can find his photography throughout the community. I don't know what his Instagram page is, if you do.
At Paltoy Fantastic.
At Paltoy Fantastic. Bob giving his blessing for this book with a foreword, giving his blessing with this book with, I think the Kickstarter said they did a raffle with some production items.
Oh, yes. Well, let me put some, you know, context in that. So while the campaign was ongoing to try and get a little bit of momentum going towards the end to help us hit the funding goal, Bob offered 3 separate pieces from his collection of pre-production items. You know, if you back the campaign, your backer number goes into a draw. And what Bob is going to do is, it'll be next week, we will select 3 backer numbers. So just looking at the numbers, and then from those backer numbers, I'll be able to identify who those backers are, and I can contact them and let them know that they've won their prize, and we can arrange to send that out to them. So the 3 prizes were, and I'm going from memory here, I think there are listed on the Kickstarter page, but one of them is a 2 Kraken heads up on the, they're on the sprue, and it's a test shot straight out of the mold.
Oh, incredible.
There is a metal die-cast air tank off the scuba diver that was used for display at the toy fair and for some of the photos that they had to produce for the catalog for the toy fair.
Oh, wow.
And then the third one, that Bob uses the term squeezes. There's a selection of different parts like legs, torsos, arms that have come, again, they've come out of the moles. Again, just testing the test shots, basically, unpainted. So that's the third prize there. So three of our backers will be getting, sharing them between them, effectively.
All three of those are incredible.
Yes.
Those are really something special for whoever happens to win those.
They're pretty cool and super generous of Bob to, you know, to offer to do that. And Bob is going to supply a little certificate of authenticity with each one signed by himself. It's a neat, you know, prize for, but not all people had to do to get included was back the campaign. So probably late next week we'll do that draw. We'll put a post up on an update on the Kickstarter page to announce the winners at that stage.
This isn't the first time Bob has disseminated a couple of his production artifacts back into the community, but I think this is the first time I recall him doing it outside of being specific items to specific people. Like, he seems to be very willing to let something go when he knows it's going to someone who will treasure it. This raffle is him taking a risk and hoping that someone treasures it. But surely anyone that kickstarted this, they are the type of collector that would.
Yeah, real fans of the classic Action Force. So I think those little unique pieces from Bob will mean something to people when they get them.
That's a really cool gift back to the community on top of just being a nice gift to David to help his Kickstarter. And I'm really looking forward to reading the captions and the story hooks, to read his thoughts as he's setting up this dio, this battle, this scene, kind of very much in the same way as when you and I first sat down and talked, and I kept bugging you about many of your own photos. As I started to notice some of what you use to build dios, which just made it so much more endearing. I love that kind of thing. And so I cannot wait for this book. I'm very excited about it. My first thought was, this is a great companion to the two volumes of Total Action Force that you and Patty did. And it will also be a good companion to Total Roboskull.
Oh, yeah.
It is in the same vein of love and story. And I'm very... I don't know if people get tired of hearing me just spray my excitement for things.
You know, you're dead right, that those books sit in the same kind of family. I mean, there's an obvious connection with the two Total Action Force books that myself and Patty have done with David MacDonald. David MacDonald writes the comics element of the Total Action Force books. David Gillis's book that we've been speaking about tonight, which is called More News As It's Made. You know, again, that's very Action Force centric, of course. And then, of course, with the Total Roboskull book, while it's not Action Force per se, because it's about the Roboskull Mark II and all of the toys associated with that Kickstarter, it does have its origins in Action Force. And that book, Total Roboskull, the story begins with the original Palitoy Roboskull. So that's kind of the opening chapter. That chapter will include beautiful design drawings from Bob Regan when he was developing that. Maybe you've seen them online, but this is the first time they're going to be collected in print and being presented in the way that they're going to be presented. Those four books sit really nicely in the same stable. And I think they'll be, you know, must-haves for, if you're into Action Force, they're the books that really you want to get into your collection. But, you know, you touched on something there earlier, and which reminded me of, you know, David Gillis's book that said the title is More News As It's Made. David got that title from the TV commercial that was out at that time in the 1980s. That commercial features an outdoor diorama scene with the Action Force toys. There's a couple of different outdoor diorama scenes. Because David is an outdoor photographer, you know, again, that's another nice connection with that original TV advert as well. There's a story about that TV commercial in Bob's book. It's just not a story, but he just mentions it in the book. He attended that video shoot when they were filming that commercial. it was filmed in a like in a junkyard, and they had all this kind of debris, you know, bricks and wood and stuff, and then they set up their dioramas and their action shots in that. And he describes, you know, the particular type of camera they used to get some of the shots that they were taking. I can't remember the name of the camera, but there was a director for the commercial, and the director had his own chair with the name director on it. But it just sounds so hilarious when you consider it was a TV commercial filmed in a junkyard. But yet behind the camera, it's like a Hollywood style, you know, production going on in the background. So it's one of Bob's many kind of amusing recollections from his time at Palatoy.
I'm really glad he took the time to write his book. You know, we are very lucky over here that we get regular infusions of Kirk Bazigian and Ron Rudat.
Yes.
Mark Pennington's been coming around. You know, Kurt Groen, I think, is coming out to the Dallas show this summer. We have access, like Larry Hama is coming to Joe Fest. We have such regular access to our community fathers that sometimes people can just walk by the booth and not even notice these guys because they see them so much. But none of them have taken the time to write a book, you know, to something that lives beyond them. And Bob, who we have no access to over here, and you guys have limited access because he's not around as much as some of his American counterparts. He's written this book. He's left something that years after he's gone, and even after you and I are gone, our kids will have this. Then you have something like, you know, yours and Patty's books that go along as a companion piece to that, that tell a more specific history. And then you'll have David's books that have customizing and just story snippets and all of these different things. It's why I love books so much. No matter how often I come in contact with our community's fathers and uncles, we've already lost some. We'll lose all.
Yeah.
And these books and what you guys do in ensuring that these books aren't just a conversation or a file on a computer, but these books are printed, they're bound, and they're shipped to our homes, and we get to put them on our bookshelves, I think is something really kind of special. Not to put too heavy or fine a point on it.
No, that is beautiful. When I returned back into the toy community, which again would have been around the Rise of Cobra era, so that's what we're talking about, 2007, 2008, around that time, I didn't know anybody in the community. And it was listening to, and I've told this story so many times, you know, but it was listening to What's on Your Mind. And they read out a letter from an Irish listener who wasn't me. And I was blown away by the fact that there was an Irish G.I. Joe fan that just existed. And I tracked Paddy down on Facebook and I sent him a message. That friendship with Paddy and that kind of connection with the toy community and toy collecting has introduced me to people like Ray Murphy, Stephen Kelly, Carol O'Connor, our good friend Bill, loads of great collectors here in Ireland that I've met, you know, through the community. And then, of course, our friends across the water in England, you know, Chris McLeod, Dave Tree, David Gillis, Bob, you know, Stefan and Jamie who are coming over, Mark Seddon. Like, it's incredible. So most of my friends today are true toy collecting. It's mad how these conversations seem to keep coming back to the same kind of thing, you know?
It's funny what this was, our initial connection. There's no reason for you and I to know each other if it wasn't for toys. Toys is our entry fee to a much broader world.
Yes.
And, you know, we've paid a lot for that entry fee. I can see behind you have.
Yeah.
I can walk in the other room and see how much entry fee I've paid. Outside of toy conversations I've had with you or with P or with so many people, that's why I prioritize the shows. It's why I prioritize the books so much.
I would really align myself with exactly that same sentiment. And you know, I love my collection. I've really enjoyed putting it together and I'm not done collecting. But it's those, like that morning a couple of weeks ago, the best unplanned birthday present ever was having birthday cake with some of my closest friends in the toy collecting community in my studio, putting up the new figures on the stands.
Yeah.
It was, and just talking toys, you know. I'm looking forward to doing more of that now when we hit Joe Fest in a few months.
So we're going to have a good 5 days running around, 4 to 5 days running around together, and everyone else that's going to be there. And you're probably not, you're not even going to land before you're going to get a text of, I miss you. And not just from me, but from a lot of people. And, you know, it's just, that is, to me, that's always my favorite part of a show is how quickly after the show people are like, so why are we going back to work?
Yeah. I'm hoping that after Joe Fest, I'll be coming back here to work on more amazing books. I know myself and Patty, we've made no secret about the Star Wars book that we're working on.
And you know I'm hungry for that.
Oh, you're familiar with my recreation of the original trilogies with the vintage toys. So this particular book with Patty is different in that it is going to tell a Star Wars story, but it's the dive into that Palitoy Star Wars story. So Bob does cover that in his book, but he's covering that and about 10 other toy brands in that book too. So it doesn't go into the kind of detail that we're going to go into. So it gets a chapter in Bob's book. We're going to give it a whole book on its own. And Patty has written first draft of that book already.
I love it. I love it.
That's already done. So that's something that we will be, you know, it's not a big surprise. I mean, we've talked about it. But in terms of when that's going to happen, it'll certainly, we'll have a better feel for when for a timing in that after Joe Fest. And I'm looking forward to kind of, you know, bringing that one, you know, to fruition. We don't have a date yet for when it's all going to happen, but the work on it is very advanced at this stage.
I love that you guys are doing that. I love any opportunity to hear you say it into the world. When you sent me the link to where it was a frame by frame through the movie, I was floored at that opening shot of you and your son, or you as your son as you. Those like opening three shots were perfect and meant so very much. And then, you know, as I travel to shows and I'm around Star Wars collectors, I'm like, hey, are you familiar with this? And every Star Wars person I've met is familiar with your work.
Oh, wow, dude, that's I don't expect anyone to even know about it, but that's awesome to hear that.
It makes me happy when I run into strangers that know who you are. And so the fact that you guys found a way to retool it and get it into the world so that it's not a copyright problem and to make it a story about Palitoy Star Wars and to highlight more of what Bob did with some of your own stuff, I'm pleased. It excites me. Aside from gushing over the books, you know, and talking about how much we're looking forward to the summer where we get to, you know, stand on common ground, with the toy shelf behind you and the friends just coming over and the birthday and everything else, what are you collecting these days? Are you still gathering things or is your collection come to a halt?
My focus is still very much, you know, vintage Palitoy Action Force. And I've got a lot of figures. I'm going to say that I have nearly all the figures. I don't have Jammer and Gaucho. Don't have them. But I have all the other figures, but they're just not complete. My focus is trying to just take my time, get that missing accessory for that figure, the missing accessories for that vehicle, and kind of, you know, match them up. There's no big panic. I don't have a deadline on it. It's if I see something and I've got the budget for it, I'm just going to get it. And if I miss something, I'm not going to feel bad about it. You know, but that's where the focus is. But that said, I was lucky enough to attend the Nuremberg Toy Fair.
Yes.
You know, in the beginning of February.
Was that a toy show as in like Joe Fest or whatever, or is that a toy fair as in like Hasbro Toy Fair or, you know, like the New York Toy Fair?
Oh yeah, it's more like the New York Toy Fair. It's business to business. So all the different toy makers are showcasing their wares. They get to meet retailers and distributors. And I was, you know, lucky enough to go and work with the Boss Fight stand for the time they were there at the show. And I did manage to come back with some boss fight pieces after the event. They were just display pieces. So they were out of the box. They were all loose. So I got to bring a couple of pieces home. And I did pick up a couple of their Saurozoic warriors.
Oh, yeah.
They are pretty cool. Like, I've seen them online, you know. And I don't collect, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or anything like that. The Saurozoic warriors scale really well with the TMNT. But they're just so cool in terms of the look of them. And there will be some dio photos coming with those couple of figures at some point later this year, once I kind of get a bit more bandwidth. I did also get my Skeletron figures, as everybody else did too.
I love those O-rings.
Oh, they're amazing. They're just amazing. I've actually got a diorama, which is a build in progress, and it's got six of those O-ring Wolf Troopers set up on the diorama there. The build isn't ready yet, but that's going to be the next kind of photograph. And I went with the all-in package on that Kickstarter, so there'll be more figures coming down the line as they kind of get ready. And of course, the RoboSkulls themselves. Apart from that, sometimes I just see something that I think looks cool. You know, it could be... So I'm sure when I'm at Joe Fest, I'll probably buy a bunch of random stuff that is not connected to any line. I probably won't even know what it is, but just, oh, that looks cool. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having that. I'll put it in a photo someday. You know, there's no real focus. But if I had to say it was one thing, you know, the Palatoy, vintage Palatoy is, I do want a complete loose collection. And I'm a long way from having that complete.
Does that include Palatoy Star Wars or just Palatoy Action Force?
Just Palatoy Action Force. My Star Wars vintage collection, just the figures, is almost complete. It's the really expensive ones that I don't. It's probably maybe down to about 12. Had I bought them maybe back in 2008 when I was started collecting, because you know, you could get a Yak Face for maybe 50 quid back then. Not today.
Ooh, not today. So how was Toy Fair? I've never had an opportunity to go to one, but they always look amazing. And I've seen so many books from the 80s, like the Hasbro Toy Fair books from the 80s. I only have a couple. But how was it in 2024?
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. In terms of the different vendors who had stuff on, we won't say vendors isn't the right term, but the companies that had product on display, there weren't very many action figures. I mean, obviously, Boss Fight, you know, would have been, I mean, it's all action figures. Joy Toy had a display there. I got to visit the Joy Toy stand. I met their sales director and got to chat with him for a bit. Their display, they had mostly the Warhammer, kind of 1 to 18 scale Warhammer stuff, which...
They've been very big into Warhammer. It's insane.
Almost entirely Warhammer. And then they had a little bit of the Infinity game figures. So very small display of that. But beyond that, it was mostly preschool stuff is what I was seeing. Mostly preschool toys.
That's the new target age, I guess.
The eye-opener for me was how vast the toy industry is in terms of the amount of product that's coming out and the many, it serves so many different markets. And I know it sounds so obvious, you know, kind of saying, but when you're in a venue that is, I'm going to say about 20 times bigger than JoeCon 2017, which was pretty big. This is 20 times bigger. This is, I did not even get to see all of it. And the tiny fraction that I did get to see, I just saw this huge diversity of different toy products. You know, it was eye-opening. It was amazing.
Your Kickstarter's already ended. So this will not support that. The funds have already been collected.
That is true. But if people miss the Kickstarter, they can pre-order. So the pre-order's open. If you go to the Kickstarter page, there's a link to the pre-order from there, or you can just go straight to TotalToyBooks.com, go into the shop, and you'll see more news as it's made in the shop there for pre-order.
And I'll put that in the show notes as well, so anybody listening to this can just click on the show notes and click on the link and pre-order this book if they did miss the Kickstarter.
Keep it nice and easy for people, absolutely.
That's right, especially for people who are driving and just pick their phone up and go boop, boop, boop.
Oh, man. Buddy, I'm going to have to wrap it up here. It's 11:30.
You got to get to bed.
I'm going to get my ass to bed, yes. this has been brilliant, brilliant chat with you, dude. I mean, actually, 2.5 hours. I did not see that time fly.
We don't always have to record to talk, but I do know that as someone who has a full-time job and then a second full-time job of making books, you don't exactly have the most amount of time to spend.
You know, it's great being able to take this kind of time, you know, and have this chat. So I hope we don't leave it as long for the next one.
Well, that, and I'm excited for the next time I get you and P together again, because I really enjoy the way you guys partner, and the way you guys talk about each other, answer for each other, and lift each other up. Maybe we can do it at a time where Joel can join us and the four of us can sit down.
Oh, man, that would be great. That would be cool.
But then again, we all four of us will be in the room at Joe Fest, so.
Oh, will you record a special session over there?
Yeah. So I'll just bring four mics. I can set it up anywhere.
We'll sound good going through your mics instead of going through our computer speakers. Well, you know, I look forward to that. That is going to be, we're going to be sitting, I can see it now, glasses of whiskey on the table. In the 2-3 hour conversation, it's going to be amazing.
I would like that a lot. Except for Joel, he'll have water.
That's okay. I might have to swap to water after the first whiskey.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.